Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, Patrick. Also, John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Man, we were just talking about the Freedom Tower. We're going to be talking to you more about the Freedom Tower in just a moment. As John's giving us an update in New York, what's happening. It's the building they built in place in remembrance of what took place at 9/11. Also, don't miss the first hour where we talked about this over-looming prophetic happening that's about to take place. Find out also on the VFN Torch about what is being said about where we are now prophetically. In conjunction to Israel. Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Good. Hello. Good day.
Good day. And John Ramos. What do you think about it? You know, we were just talking about the Freedom Tower, and we were coming to the end to get finished all of it. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about what came to my mind, because it's freedom. We got to understand, Freedom Tower is right where the Twin Towers was.
That's right.
Right.
And it is the epicenter in the world's eyes of where financial trade takes place.
That's right.
I don't know if they're planning on moving everybody into it that was in the other towers, but in the context of that is I think about that movie Jaws years ago. Now, I grew up on an island. I spent some time, I never grew up, but I spent time on an island when I was young and swam every day. Mm-hmm. I lived in the water. I mean, you probably could call me prune. I
mean,
I
was fish.
A fish. I was in the water, which is great, by the way.
Yeah.
There used to be this program years ago called Flipper.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yikes.
Flipper, wow. Flipper, under
wow.
the sea.
Wow.
That's old.
Okay, Gilligan's Island.
That's
that.
Amazing. What exactly was Flipper? Is that, what is that?
There once was a mighty sailor man. Do what?
Flipper?
Is that Flipper? It's just
a porpoise.
It's a porpoise.
Dolphin.
Porpoise.
Oh,
but I just swam in the water all the time, all the time, and I was taken against my will as a young boy to this movie Jaws at that time. It was Jaws
against your will,
against my will, yeah, right? And I wasn't against my will. And if I would have known what was going to happen, I wouldn't have done it. And I watched this movie with I'm not going to say who took me, Dad.
And
he had his legs crossed. His legs crossed like a man puts his ankle over his knee like that.
Yeah.
And there's this point in the movie where this guy's chunking this chum, which is, you know, bait over the back of the boat. Yeah, fish guts and stuff to attract sharks. And he's going, well, this is useless. This is not going to work or something. And all of a sudden, this huge head of a shark, this white shark, great white shark, comes out of the water. And my dad's leg just pops off and it kicks the woman in the back of the head.
Oh, no.
I mean, his foot didn't come off. He just had it crossed and it kicked forward and kicked the lady in the back of the head.
Oh, wow.
You know, she probably thought she was eaten by the shark. Oh, I lost my head in the movie. Anyway. It's a terrible movie if you love water because you know, the whole thing was you didn't see the shark quite often, but you heard dun, 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 dun. And, of course, when that shark came out of the water with him, he goes, we need a bigger boat. And so here I was seeing that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, this one boy that just swam every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day, I was on the Gulf of Mexico, and I'd gotten sand on me, and so I was gonna go. I thought, man, I mean, it wasn't a big deal. This is a huge deal now because I just saw this movie Jaws. I went in about ankle feet deep water, splashed the water around to get the sand off my hands, and didn't even go in. I mean, my mind was so messed up thinking, you know, don't tell me movies can't affect you.
Yeah, you know they filmed part of that movie. In Pensacola.
Yeah.
At the Navarre. It was at the same.
And Navarre.
Navarre. Mm-hmm. And I even watched them build the thing. It was different. Anyway, so this is what I'm thinking about when you're talking about Freedom Towers, because there was a mm-hmm. point in the movie where this man, this politician, was promoting this island, mm-hmm. and right. because they had some sort of shark attack out there, and they said, "Listen, we got to make money," and everybody's like me, they were on the beach, going like, "Yeah, I'm fine. The sun. We're not going to go swimming after what we heard about the shark reports." Mm-hmm. And finally, they come down and tell the mayor. They said, "Listen, you're going to have to get in the water because nobody's wanting to get into the water mm-hmm. because they're scared."
Right.
And so this 1970s looking, you know, crew, and he starts walking out like terror look in his eyes. He's looking back and forth on the beach, and he grabs his wife's hand, I think. They're walking. Like, you know, politicians, I'm sure a lot of politicians' wives go like, "Why are you dragging me into this?"
Right. Exactly.
And so he's walking to the water, but it's like, my life is about to end as we know it, mm-hmm. you know, because you just don't know. And as soon mm-hmm. as he gets his feet in the water a little bit, then other people start swimming. And of course, something happens and they mm-hmm. all run, but it happens to be some kids playing around. But I'm thinking about Freedom Towers. I'm thinking right. about the first person who goes in the Freedom Towers is going to be like that mayor. And may it be Bloomberg. You know what I'm saying? He's a good mayor, right?
For it's oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
I think it and should be the mayor. Don't you think it should be the mayor? They should put his office him. At the top of the Freedom Towers. Don't you think when the mayor wouldn't
I,
be right?
I nominate him. I think that'd be wonderful.
They could put his window unit hanging out the top of the Freedom Towers. The one he has in his van.
And a 16-ounce Coke.
Yes.
All
yes.
right.
Speaking of that, did you hear what the president said at the dinner, the comedic dinner? It's what's it called
Alfred
Smith dinner. He says, "I don't know how much time I have left being president, but you just want to drink it all in. But Mayor Bloomberg won't let me get 16 ounces of it." Oh, that is amazing.
It's amazing, man. Just going down there and just taking it all in, just seeing all the work that's being done and all the hard work that's you know, put into putting these towers back. You're right. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be the first one to go back in.
I think it should be the mayor. I think it should be the mayor, the one who said, "Hey, let's just build a mosque right beside it."
Yeah.
Mm. I think it should be the mayor who said, "We don't need to bring God into all this."
Mm-hmm.
I think he needs to just to be just his office for a period of time, you know? And then after the mayor is in the water for a while, then everybody else in the city can begin to put their offices in there. I mean, it's just like the movie, right?
Yeah.
It's like.
Dun, 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 dun. You know, when I was in training for, it's called field training in law enforcement. When you're learning how to, you already went through rookie school already, and you're going through riding with officers. They call them field training officers. Your thoughts are, that these guys are just so wise and they've been fighting crime for so long. And if I could just, you know, imitate them and you feel so safe with this all this time you're thinking, because you're just learning. You're looking around mm-hmm. like, oh my goodness, they've given me a gun.
right.
You know, your mother wouldn't let you have a BB gun. Now you're walking around with a .357 on your side with electrical devices. And sticks and stuff and cages in the back of your car. And so you're riding with the field training officer.
Right.
So you're in the passenger seat. You know, you start off there and then you work your way to the driver's seat and he moves to the passenger seat. Mm-hmm. And they just watch you, which is a really good way of doing it. It's a mentoring way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm still on the passenger side of the seat, so I'm still like really naive. Of course, when I did my interviews, you heard earlier on VFN Radio, that's how one of my references described me in my interview. He's naive. Like, come on, help me out here. And he was right. It's amazing. People can be evil. Anyway, so.
Yeah.
We get a call.
Mm-hmm.
He was rather plump. My field training officer was plump. The polyester held it in, but it was holding on for dear life. Yeah. He's rather plump, very nice man. But I still had this, you know, I mean, this guy's been around. I mean, he's going to keep us safe, and I just need to follow his lead, and I don't have to worry about what's going on because he'll tell me what to do when I need to do it. And then you have these shirts, and you know, uniform shirts, and on the shirts, you know, they don't sew things into them. they give you pens, like metal spike pens that go into your collar, and you stick like the name of the your department on your collars, and you put these little clips on the back of the pens. Mm-hmm. If you don't put the clips on the back of the pens, then it goes into your skin. You know, these needles do. And then you have your name badge and any kind of awards and your big star badge, you know, I'm the sheriff. And and so you have all that kind of hanging, like, it was really tough to get used to. It's like stuff just hanging on your shirt. You know, it's just like, this just feels awkward. And so I'm following him. So we get this phone call. No, we didn't get a phone call. We got a radio transmission.
Okay.
It's being routed. You have a burglary in progress. We have an open door. An open door is like, hey, that is a home, has open door to it. You don't know what's going on. It could be, you know, bodies in there. It could be somebody broke in and left the door open. It could be just somebody just didn't close the door. And so we're showing up, you know, and I'm confident. I'm not worried about nothing because I am with experience. I am with somebody that is experienced. And I'll just watch how he handles all this, and I'll learn a lot. And then I can take that when I am on my own, and I'll just remember all this. And so we go there, and it's dark. It's night.
Yeah.
We pull up, and the door is wide open. It's wide open. And it's okay because I'm with this great, strong, fearless, confident, wise, seasoned, thick officer. And we're going in, and it was a mobile home trailer type. So it was like the door, they're not normal size doors.
Right.
They're like, I don't know what they're not normal size.
About half the size.
So needless to say, we went through one at a time. And and so he's going through, and we don't know, it's dark. You don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going, he goes in, and I'm confident, like, I'm behind him. He's like, he's going to know what to do. We're just going to clear this out, you know, those type of things. And so he goes in, and he gets probably about 4 feet in or something like that. So I'm coming in now through this small doorway. And all of a sudden, this big boom happens in the kitchen. This grown, large, experienced field training officer turns around. I didn't know he could move this fast. He turns around and he runs so fast because I'm sitting here with this naive confidence that everything's all right. So I'm not like leaning out the door. I'm thinking everything's okay, even if there's a big boom. And he starts running for his life. And I'm in the doorway still. And we both end up, and I'm leaning against the door threshold, and he just rubs all that polyester right across me and goes, rips all my stuff off my uniform.
Oh my
getting
God.
Out of this trailer door, and I'm thinking, this might not be good. So we get out there, you know, and a long story short, there was a cat on the counter, and it jumped off the counter, and it landed on the linoleum floor. But he ripped everything on the front of my shirt. Was ripped off. I had to go pick it all up.
Oh, great.
And I went and sat in the passenger seat thinking, I'm in trouble. All false sense of security was gone. I thought, I got to pay attention here.
Wow.
I got to pay attention. I'll never forget that. It was a very loud noise, but I was thinking, yeah, hey, he's experienced.
Right.
And the reality is, I mean, he's a great officer, a lot of good officers out there, but you got to really, you know, pay attention. I learned, hey, I need to pay attention here. This could be very, very, very important. And I want to be able to share from you today this moment of wisdom. We always share a moment of wisdom from the Word of God, from Proverbs. And you can catch these, by the way, all of them on your VFNTV app, which you can download from your app store. Go to VFNTV.com, or you can see them at the VFNTV Torch and at VFNTV.com. It's Proverbs. And before we talk about that, before we mention that, I want to be able to share specifically about what we heard and what I heard at the presidential debate. So important. As a Christian, as a lover of Israel, lover of God, we heard something about our values that was very encouraging. In the presidential debate, it was encouraging to hear the words radical, Islam, unapologetic, confidently, and direct, declaring those that are jihadists as enemies of the free world and America, their American enemies, and that they have to be identified and dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
That was refreshing because, you know, President Obama allegedly has got his administration and even edited himself to no longer identify radical Islam as one of our enemies. And according to Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann's, even they've had every reference to radical Islam removed from all the FBI libraries, all of our databases, Homeland Security. And it's like you've got to identify these radical now. I'm not talking about Islam. I'm talking about radical Islam who are enemies of Israel. They're enemies of America.
And
it was so refreshing to hear that we had a presidential candidate who was unashamedly saying, I'm for Israel. For Israel. America's always been for Israel. This is one of our greatest allies. When you went on a tour of apology and he started even talking about the things that was said in Arabic on TVs that are not, that most Americans only speak English. Right. And he's talking about, this is what you said on your tour. And he did say, you know, things about America that described us in a negative light. This is our leader.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then he said, but, you know, and you talked about this, John, on BFN Radio before, that since he became president, he has not set foot in Israel.
That's right.
Not once.
A friend.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't set
allegedly.
Foot. Yeah, allegedly. Yeah, allegedly. And he hasn't set foot in Israel. He hasn't set foot in there. The thing that bothers me about so much stuff, we're being lied to so much now.
Yeah.
You know, and Satan is a liar and he's a father of lies. And those he holds captive to do his will are going to lie. But now we're being told such aggressive, in-your-face antithesis of truths that people right now are trying to rewrite history by just lying about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lying spirit. I remember that somebody who has a lying spirit, you just want to believe them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not somebody that lies and you automatically go, I mean, somebody that's got a spirit on them.
Mm-hmm.
That they talk to you and you know what they're saying is not true, but there's something inside of you that draws you to, but instead of saying, this is a lie, that's important. I remember, you know, going to, I was on patrol one night and there's a particular young man that had just took his father's station wagon and just burned up a soccer field. Just did donuts on it and just everywhere. And I come out there to the call. Station wagon's got dirt all over it. It's still in the field. It's got smoke coming from the hood. And this young man, he was so nice. And guilty as guilty can be. But he looks right at you and goes, what? I mean, he looks at it and just says, oh, no, that wasn't me. I mean, this is like 4:00 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Crickets are not out. We're
not
the only
soul
two,
out.
We're the only two people out on the face of the earth in America.
Yeah.
He looks at me.
Car's still hot.
Standing
by
keys
it.
Are in his hand. No, I don't know where the keys were at. And he says it wasn't him. And it was the interesting thing was you wanted to believe him.
Mm.
You just wanted to. You wanted to believe him. That's a lying spirit.
Mm-hmm.
A lying spirit. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And when God was wanting to deal with Saul, he said, who can I send down as a lying spirit to go tell Saul things that are not true so my will can come to pass in his life?
Mm-hmm.
And right now, it seems like God has just allowed a lying spirit to just permeate our land, and people are buying into it. Like Saul bought into it, right? Am I not?
That's right.
That's what happened.
When you have a debate and you have so many people trying to share about the same account that you have to say, check the record.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, check the record? Why can't we just tell the truth now so we don't have to check the record? Why don't we just tell the truth?
I remember, you know, we go to, in the sheriff's department, we go to calls at the end of the night, we would come together and we'd sit around and talk about, you know, what happened. know, this is a call, and I was on this and that and the other. And this one particular deputy, he was talking about this whole incident. It was like you're sitting on the edge of your seat and all this exciting stuff.
Right.
And I'm thinking, man, that was, man, I wish I was there. And he looks at me and goes, you were. I'm like, oh, got
it.
That's called embellishment. And so we're being lied to right now, and we have to understand that this is a strategy, and it's a second heaven strategy. And the people involved in the strategy, you know, God loves the people that are involved in it, so we got to be careful how we treat those in authority, how we treat those, our fellow Americans, and that understand there comes a time sometimes when the Lord says, he's my servant. When you think about, as we talked about yesterday, that Nebuchadnezzar, which was an evil king over Babylon, was considered by God a servant of his to accomplish something that was going to bring hardship in God's people's life. And it looks like, maybe this is that looming feeling that I'm talking about, that this is what the transition package looks like. Because people have to buy into, because we've all been given authority, mankind has to buy in to some sort of viewpoint to walk intentionally into something that's going to harm them. In other words, you have to be told a lie and you have to believe it.
Right. And I don't understand that, why your most clearest statements about Israel have to come during a presidential debate and not ever before. I don't understand that we have to guess for 18 months, 2 years, what your position is about Israel, because there's cloak and dagger, there's you know, these hidden messages, and then 2 weeks before an election, it's very crystal clear. Come on, what's happening?
He openly said, you know, I believe it was allegedly in talking with the prime minister of Great Britain, that how he expressed these negative connotations and his feelings and emotions about having to even talk to the prime minister of Israel.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Actually, that was a conversation with Zakowski, French prime minister or president, and he's no longer in office now. But it was recorded. Allegedly, was recorded on off the mic conversation that they were talking about the president Benjamin Netanyahu. And he says, "Yeah, at least you don't have to deal with him every day."
Yes, that's it.
At least you don't have to deal with him every day.
Well, that sounds like a friend, don't it?
Yeah. Exactly.
And I do believe that, and this is the tension. The tension is this, that God could be walking us on a long walk down a short pier, but God is the one doing it. And he can use servants that don't serve him
to do it.
Don't serve him, don't acknowledge him as God, but yet are serving him as his servant to be able to do what God wants done at the time. And so you got that tension, you know. If you find yourself fighting against God's set men, and there's no reason in America that anybody should be fighting anyway. You'll find yourself fighting against what God has set up. And what we should do is, as Christians, you know, we vote, and we pray, and we pray more than we vote. We trust, you know, what God can do through our humility, our acknowledgement of us being wrong, praying. And I encourage you, don't point at and think that any particular president or presidential candidate or politician is your problem.
Right.
We have to understand that we are the problem. The church is the problem. So what we do, when we talk to God, we don't talk to God about everybody else. We talk to God about ourselves, and we say openly, "Dear God, I know that I don't deserve this, and I know that America doesn't deserve this.
Right.
And we've done wrong before you, and we've sinned before you, and we went our own way, and we took what was yours and we rearranged it, or even done away with it. And we've created our own gods, and we've turned to religion instead of relationship, and we've done these things, and we forgive us, Lord. We've sinned against you. Have mercy on us in this land."
That's right.
And that's our prayer. I mean, a meaningful prayer. And God will hear us. We're praying like this.
Well,
but
it makes sense.
But if we pray like, you know, take that president out, put this president in, take that congressman out, put this congressman in, take that. Like, we totally missed the fact that they're God's servants.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
You're praying against what God has established. And if we wouldn't have walked in sin, we wouldn't be in this boat in the first place, and you wouldn't, and Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't know your name.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That's right.
And but yes, so one way to
it's exactly what you were talking about yesterday in terms of, do you have the courage? It says, if you missed yesterday's segment, it's a wonderful segment. You can catch it on the torch at bfntb.com. But it's called, do you have the courage to look in the mirror? You know, we can't be praying about other people. We got to look, start with ourselves.
As we get older, it's kind of tougher to look in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? It's not this like flexing anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, Pat still, you know.
Yeah, it's we told everybody he's mush now, so everybody knows he's no longer.
The jig is up.
The jig is up.
The jig is up.
Yeah, but you're right. Looking in the mirror. I remember this commercial years ago about, I think it was about weight loss or something. Mm-hmm. And this lady had a big mirror in her foyer of her house when she would come in. Mm-hmm. So when she'd come in the front door, she knew that mirror was there. So she would immediately walk in and put her back against the wall because the mirror would be on her right side. Mm-hmm. To avoid looking in the mirror, she would hit the ground and roll like a soldier under barbed wire. And she'd come back up on the other side of the mirror with the back against the wall. And then she'd go into the next room. That's what the church is doing now.
Yeah.
We're avoiding looking at the mirror. And he says, look into my word. Mm. He says in James chapter 1, and listen, America, if you want to be blessed, don't just say, bless me. He says, look intently into my word and study it and do what it says, and you'll be blessed in all that you do. If you go to your gathering, or if you look in your Bible and you read the word and you don't do what it says, you're like a man looking in the mirror and forgetting what he looks like.
Mm.
And how humorous that sounds about this lady coming in, you know, that's exactly how many people walk into the presence of somebody who's talking about the things of God and their back is against the wall and they're like, do not shine that mirror in my face. I don't want to see my life. I don't want to see where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And then right in front of you, they hit the ground like a soldier rolling on a barbed wire, roll on the ground and pop back up with their back against the wall and they go about their life.
So mm-hmm. true.
Right.
It's kind of like a traditional church gathering, right?
Pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. It was really good. We got to find that. Let's find that and make that available on VFN Torch. I'm sure that commercial's out there somewhere. And that just really kind of makes sense. It totally makes a lot of sense. You know, we talk about, when we get back from this break, about rethinking church. We're going to talk more about that. We want to stay on that till we get a godly paradigm for what God has called us to do. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father.
Mm-hmm.
And he was... he and my has my sisters and I, we got them an iPad and, you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh,
my
wow.
mother, yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk and, we've always had a great time,
mm-hmm.
but anyway, they're listening. They're listening to VFN TV
mm-hmm.
and the VFN radio program. Watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program
mm-hmm.
with their iPad.
Oh wow!
They have an iPad,
uh-huh.
and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store
mm-hmm.
and downloaded the application because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad, we have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android.
Mm-hmm.
You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh man, I missed that. You can go that with the app. You could go back and look to the highlights of that day and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program, Facebook. You can get to our, the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are, you know, sowing into this ministry and giving that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad. And all the moms and dads out there, listen, you can get VFN TV, the daily radio program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today. You know, Jesus said in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the vine, talking of himself.
Right.
You, us, believers, are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And his father, our father, mm-hmm. is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go. You know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about, as he called us, called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years of my church.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that. Because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now. You might be thinking, okay, I got the call. I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And we tried. So once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. It said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the 30-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, we try, how can we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time to help people get perspective,
right,
of what Vine Fellowship Network's about, and it just integrates with the Word of God. It's just doing what God says, mm-hmm. you know. It's called Vine, which is Jesus is the vine.
Mm-hmm.
Fellowship is what the church does. And network, we all stay together and stay rightly related, which is, you know, Psalms 133, you know,
right,
and John 17, 23. And so what came of that was called, we call it the Vine Seminar. The mm-hmm. Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is, there's several different seminars now that's evolved in, but knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain,
mm-hmm.
how do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly,
right,
and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that,
mm-hmm.
and he confirmed it every step of the way. We share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Fill it out, let them know that you are interested in it, and we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart, and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get
right.
people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America,
mm-hmm.
then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums yep. weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history,
mm-hmm.
our history started with next step. And it was
right.
it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep, and they got mm-hmm. back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had
right.
to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I am Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John and Pat. We're coming to the end of the Extra Hour. I want to share with you a couple of things, including the wisdom moment. But first, I just want to briefly say, as we're talking about rethinking church, you'll hear us talk about that. And if you're looking it up on the torch, if you're searching for it, you know, type in RE-thinking, or just rethinking. I think you can find it as well. But under original intent of the church, because we're just talking out loud, you know, what, let's rethink this thing. As we were talking yesterday from George Barna's book called Revolution, he says in his book, and it's a great statistical study of the condition of the church, it's subtitled, you know, worn out on church. And it's you know, it's fair to say, if we've been cheering about a football game, if we've been buying equipment for a football game, and we've been talking about running the ball, that at some point, it's fair to say, aren't we supposed to be on the field?
Yeah.
At some point,
And somebody says, that's just too dangerous down there. You might get hit or
might get hurt.
You know, you might lose. Mm-hmm. It might cost you something. So no. We just, and so an unbound person is just going to logically say, well, isn't this called insanity? I mean, we're just talking about something we're not doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Aren't we called to be doers of the word and not just hearers? Because doers, as James says, are merely hearers are merely deceived.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and you got to check out, if you haven't checked out Heardo, you know, H-E-A-R, Heardo, you got to go to the VFN Torture Highlights and just search for Heardo, because God is looking for people who hear and do what he says.
Because
mm-hmm. you have some that are here. I mean, I think America mm-hmm. has the greatest, most beautiful people that hear what's going on, hear the church, hear the message.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're so dedicated that they show up again and hear it again. That was so good. I'm going to come back and hear something else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we have the doo-doos that they don't bother hearing. I have people say they're doing work for the Lord and they say, but I can't, you know, I don't have any time to read the word of God. I don't have time to pray. And it's like, that's doo-doo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're just doing and doing, thinking you're going to be right.
Right.
No, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the hoodoo going on, and the hoodoo is where these are the people that show up on the last day and say, "Lord, Lord, did we not? Aren't we what we did?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we do this and didn't we do that?" And he says, "I never knew you." And hoodoo is people who identify themselves by their talents instead of sons and daughters of God. You got to check it out. Go to the VFN Torch. Or on your app and look for Heardo. Listen to it. It's although it's a little humorous, it's true. It's true. And God is looking. What we need today, what will turn this nation around, what will turn the church around, is a whole bunch of Heardo. We have enough of the other.
Mm.
So he talks about in his book, as you see on the VFN Torture and the highlights or yesterday's program, is that you know, we were given a commission and a mandate to be the church, and then we created things and we made things up to help us in this walk, and it may be helpful, it may not be helpful, but it's not wrong to question what we made up if it's no longer. It could have worked for a season but doesn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you could still be using a xylophone when you could be using an iPod. I mean, there's something you could do. But the one thing I want to say about rethinking today is begin to think about, ask yourself the question, how do I look at the church? How do I identify it? Do you identify it as a organization, as a building, as a board of directors, as a denomination, as us, you know, type thing? Or do you identify it as family? Mm-hmm. Do you identify it as family? How can you go to another nation, people you've never met before, in a culture you've never been before, but then you bump into a brother or sister in the Lord and you just so connect?
That's right.
And you're not part of the same organization, and by the way, you're not part of the same denomination, but yet it's like meeting a brother. It's like meeting a sister. You know why? Because you're meeting a brother and you're meeting a sister.
Mm-hmm.
And God has called us to be family. The reason why we default to not do that and kind of act institutionalized is because it's painful and costly to be family.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts. The one another's that Jesus tells us to do, and the word of God tells us to do, love one another's and all that. He's talking about us being a loving family. And he says, if you will be a healthy family, and we're not talking about your biological family and your spouse might not be saved or your parents might not be saved, your children might be saved. That's not going to be healthy in the context of what we're talking about here. We're talking about health in the church, mothers mm-hmm. and fathers in the Lord, and sons and daughters in the Lord. And that if we act the way God's called us to act out of our hearts because we want to, as family members, when you love your family, you don't sin against your family. You mm-hmm. don't do things. If you do something to hurt them, and we all make mistakes, then somebody doesn't tell us to make it right. We're wanting to make it right in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And so walking out, he says, listen, a new commandment I give to you, love each other. And by this, they all will know you're my family. Mm-hmm. They'll know that you are, I am your elder brother, that I am your Lord. That's what he said. He says, mm-hmm. he says, a new commandment I give to you, love each other. By this, they will know you're my disciples, if you love one another. And what he's saying is, you know, act like the family we're called to be. When they said, Jesus, your mother, your brother's outside, he said, who is my mother and brother? My family is those who do the will of my Father.
Mm-hmm.
He said over and over again about family. So thinking about why is the family under such attack in the natural sense, it's because if the whole concept of family is taken away, then the very thing God's called us to be, we have no grid for, and we can't, if the best we can do is dysfunctional family, then we have to realize the redemptive qualities of a nation and of a world is when the church returns back to being family again. We have to rethink mm-hmm. this. And the thing is that if I only know you from 30 feet away, and we've never ate together, we've never talked together, you don't know what I went through today, I don't know what you went through today, you're this person out there, and you're the stranger over here, and they said, listen, I'm going to shoot you unless you can name every person that sat on that pew with you on Sunday, mm-hmm. and you know most would be, unless you've been sitting there for 20 years, like a lot of people are, and that's about the extent of your evangelism, knowing who's on your pew, that you're not going to be able to name, and if you could name their names, you can't talk about their life.
Mm-hmm.
And right. if you talk about what they shared you about their life, they gave you a facade of their life, because you can't commit and can relate to somebody like family if you're not family. They're not going to share with you the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because when you take statistical studies and of the church, even though they act all right and they seem okay, if you give them a moment of time to be honest in those conditions, they'll tell you, I'm bound. I can't get free. We're on the edge of divorce. My children are in deep rebellion. I'm addicted to internet pornography. I am lost. I'm about to lose my job. I mean, they'll tell you all these things,
mm-hmm.
but they won't tell you that in that whole non-related institutionalized concept.
Sure.
So the thing is, the question is like, you know, part of healing me is hearing me, and we can't do, I'm not going to share myself at this institution. Now, this is not no therapy circle mm-hmm. here. I got to have brothers and sisters around me who are invested in me because Jesus told them to be invested in me. And they want to be invested in me, and mm-hmm. I in them. It's a mutual thing, family. So begin to think about that. When you rethink in church, you have to understand this, that God created family. He created the natural family. He created Adam and Eve, and he said it's good for a man to leave his mother and father and become one with his wife. And Malachi, I think 3:16, I believe it is, it's Malachi, he says, you know, the reason why two become one flesh is to bear godly offspring. And so God made the natural family, but he tells us in Romans chapter 1 that God, who is unseen, can be understood by what is seen, by what mm-hmm. he created. You can look at all of the nature and things that he's created. You can understand him. If you want to understand how the church is supposed to be, look at a healthy family. Look at a healthy family. There's a lot of dysfunctional families because the enemy's attacked the family. But how is it supposed to be? Well, you have fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, and they function together. Even there's no formatted type structure, there's not a CEO written on the, mm-hmm. the doorway of a father or a mother. Everybody knows that that's the structure right there in the context of that. And so there's so many people are longing for family, and that's a godly longing. That's a godly longing. And so mm-hmm. I want to encourage you right now, when you're looking at where you're at and what you're doing, ask yourself this, not if the word family is being used, but ask yourself, are we family? And it's going to be hard because so many of us have had dysfunctional upbringings that we don't have a grid to even think, you know, what would be normal family or whatever. So look in God's word. What is family? And all the one another's, you know, love one another and all these different things, and bear each other's burdens and confess your sins one to another. Therefore, you're healed, not only mm-hmm. forgiven.
Right.
And see if all that's taken place in the context of that. And then to begin to personal transformation, which you can find out more about that on the VFN Torch, where you begin to personally work with yourself first. And then work your way out, helping your local body a little bit at a time, begin to build a relationship with the Lord where they, and all of a sudden you have this smaller group family in the context of the bigger family of God. And then you duplicate that. And all of a sudden everybody has somebody in the context of that. No matter where you are, you're called to be family. Jesus is not only our Lord and Savior, but he is our elder brother, the firstborn amongst us. And he's not only God, he's mm-hmm. our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. He's our Father, mm-hmm. Father right. God. So begin to rediscover family. The enemy has an all-out attack against it, but guess what? If we repent and come back and begin to rethink this thing called church, we are family. Mm-hmm. We are called out from amongst the world to be the family of God. Who is my mother? Who is my family? Those who do the will of my Father. Well, right before we close, I want to talk about the wisdom moment. The wisdom moment today is from Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs 23, and it is 23, 17, and 18. It reads, "Do not let your hearts envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off." Think about that. Do not let your hearts envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. I mean, think about the word envy. The definition of envy, it's a feeling. It's an emotion. A feeling of discontented or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions or qualities. I want to have their life. I want to have their things. I want to have their stuff. We think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's telling us, do not let your heart start feeling discontented or resentful and start creating these longings for someone else's possessions or someone else's life or someone else's job or somebody else's things. He says, you know, don't do that. He says, always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Zealous comes from the word zeal, and zeal means great energy and enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear of the Lord, I mean, you could, it can go so deep, but you think about it, you could describe it this way. The fear of the Lord can be spoken about in such depth, yet the Lord asks nothing of us that we cannot achieve when we allow him to do it through us. So the fear of the Lord, you could say this. Mm-hmm. The fear of the Lord can be described as having a constant awareness in the acknowledgement of God, his presence, his ways, his feelings towards us and towards sin. It's in being aware of his kindness and his sternness, the kindness and the sternness of God, and living within those tensions with his love for us and our love for him demonstrated by our obedience as our focal point.
Mm-hmm.
That tension between the kindness and sternness of God. You know, the Apostle Paul writes, they failed to acknowledge God and to be grateful to him for his protection and provision. And so it's when we walk in that, so we're to have great energy and enthusiasm towards keeping a constant awareness and an acknowledgement of God, his presence, his ways, his feelings towards us and towards sin. It's to have great energy and enthusiasm in our awareness and willingness to live in the tensions between the kindness and sternness of our awesome God, and having great energy and enthusiasm for God's love for us and our love for him, demonstrated by our obedience. And he says, in doing this, surely, surely there's a future hope for you. Proverbs 23, 17 through 18. Do not let your hearts envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.